Thus says the Lord to his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven, but return to it, making it break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I have sent it, and succeed in the purposes I have directed. O Lord, let this happen today with your servant. If the people of a town refuse to welcome you, go out into the streets of that town and say, even the dust in your village that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yeah. Ever feel like doing that? You ever been in that kind of situation? We got some dust to wipe off against somebody else? I mean, you decide to overcome that primal fear and actually go out and share the news of Christ with someone, maybe even a stranger. And you do that only to have your efforts come to naught, crumble in the dust, so to speak, so that shaking it off is kind of like the only response left to do. I bet everyone here can think of a situation like that, whether it's really happened to you or not. We think that if God's with us, and he's actually sending us forth, that kind of rejection shouldn't happen. And yet we remember it. We remember when it happens to others. We're fearful that it might happen again. I mean, when we do this, rejection's going to happen. You know it, I know it, and Jesus did too. That's why I think the passage I just read from Luke chapter 10 is actually the second sending of people out into the fields to prepare the way for Jesus. I mean, there's another one that happens in the chapter 4 in Luke chapter 9. That's when Jesus sends out his 12 disciples in pairs, and they get relatively the same marching orders, and that's what they do. Only that then, Jesus says, if you ever find someone doesn't like you, shake the dust off your feet as evidence against them. But here, we find a little twist, don't we? In this second wave of people being sent out, 70 or 72, depending on your translation, they aren't the 12 disciples. These are unnamed people that are followers of Jesus that he gives some on-the-job training for. And the same instructions are given to them, but there's a little sort of nuance to it. Obviously, by then, they know that rejection is something that's hard to deal with. Something that's a little bit more difficult to shake off. It's something that clings, being rejected, having a door slammed in your face. Something that has to be not just shaken, but wiped off. It's more like mud than dust. But either way, it's a really good image, isn't it? Now here's the thing. Every time I've come across this passage, whether I've read it, studied it, preached on it, I've always approached it from either one of two perspectives. Either I see myself in the story as one of those apostles sent out by my Lord. In fact, the Greek word apostle comes from apostello, which means to be sent forth with a purpose, with a commission, with papers. That I hear these words and I'm kind of putting myself as the idea of one of those unnamed, courageous evangelists sent out in pairs by my Lord, whether it's to a far-off mission field or going door to door in some community. Either that, or I picture myself in the same story, like Jesus, watching my congregation, you, dutifully going forth out those doors after an inspiring sermon, going off into your neighborhoods, telling your friends about the salvation that is free in Christ Jesus, and watching you go, and then waiting for your return, hoping for that same sort of wonderful feedback that even the demons listen to you. Like I said, one of those two things. It's pretty standard stuff. I think any preacher has that same sort of repertoire of what they would do. And I think that's exactly the way we're supposed to look at it. That we are those that are going forth. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We're the good guys. We are church people sent out like sheep among wolves. even if, at least according to Barna research, less than 6% of those who are born again every week in church Christians, less than 6% have actually ever once witnessed to an absolute stranger. That would put percentage-wise, maybe 9 of you. You see, we have that idea of rejection, and we know it's part and parcel of being part of the community, and yet we always assume that if we're going to be rejected, we'll just think a good evangelist can be. I said, that's the way I normally approach this thing, these dust patches. But this week I sat down and did a little soul searching. Particularly in lieu of in view of last week's sermon, where I said, you know, point out that no is usually our default answer when approached by anything out of the blue and any change, and we're so quick to say no, that I had this sermon within a sermon that I'm going to inflict you with so you don't just get one sermon rather than two. But the actual idea is that, think about it. Instead of me just assuming that I'm one of those people Jesus is sending forth out into the community, what if I'm one of those people to whom Jesus is sending someone to me? What if Jesus sends people deliberately into my life with a purpose, a commission, and they may be conscious or unconscious of their being sent by God, but me, rather than shaking the dust out of all those that might reject me, I'm the one doing the rejecting. Yeah. It takes a lesson. It's a whole different perspective of how I look in the mirror. Because I wonder how much dust is scattered all around me. How much debris is wiped off by others who found me pretty unreceptive to them as emissaries of the gospel? How much of that's piled around left by people that I just cavalierly said no to? You see, I really believe that Christ still sends his disciples out on the world, just like he did in Luke 10, just like he did in Luke 9. That he sends people like you and me out of the kingdom, able to work wonders, giving people, other people, the good news. And I believe it's not just disciples who do this, the all-stars, it's rank and file people like you and me that are called and sent. That's why I love this second mission of unnamed masses going forth, doing the same thing. And I think that is us, and sometimes we're really obedient about it, and sometimes we're not. But I also believe that God sends people like that to us as well. Or at least to me. With the power to heal my infirmities, release me from my demons, make me see his will in my life, for my life, to metanoia me, to get me to repent, turn around, do a 180 and be whole. I believe he sends them to me, and sometimes I do not welcome them. And what do I get out of it? Nothing. Instead of being blessed, just dust. Dust. A symbol of my rejection of those people God has deliberately sent to my life. Dust. A painful reminder. No, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Of what my eventual destiny will be. Dust. A condemning realization that's how fruitful I can be in the kingdom of God. And all at once, this gospel that I felt so inspiring and uplifting gives me a rather unpleasant picture. I mean, you see what I'm getting at? I can only speak for myself, but I imagine that most of us, when you boil it right down to, are pretty comfortable in our faith. We've grown up in it, it's part of our family life, part of what we cherished about being in church and living away. We think we know all the answers. We got it all taken care of. We have a complete and total grasp of the essentials. Our I's are dotted, our T's are crossed, and so we do not want our perceptions redrawn. We do not want our cages rattled. We do not want our attitudes changed. So when Christ speaks to us through others, coming out of the blue, without credentials, we tend not to listen too closely. Now, I'm not talking about the obvious thing. where God tries to come into people's lives, or at least it's assumed that. I'm not talking about the Mormon boy showing up on your doorstep. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses handing out tracts, or church planners going door to door asking Rick Warren's three questions, or your mother-in-law pressuring you to go to church. I'm talking about the times that people show up into our lives when we least expect. Because we think God's messengers are always going to stick out. But we might not recognize them at first. Like those original people actually sent out, his disciples, the 72, they might come across disguised as ordinary people. They'll pop up when you're not expecting them. That almost as an inconvenience. And they won't necessarily preach to you either. In fact, they might not even seem very religious at all. But God can use them. In fact, in all likelihood, if the gospel is true, these people are going to come into your lives wanting something out of you. A bite to eat, a ride, a roof over their head, a helping hand, a listening ear. They're wanting to see if you might be their person of peace in your own circle. But whatever they may ask of you, don't worry, that's not the reason they show up. They're not there for themselves. They're sent by God with an agenda, a purpose, a commission for you. And if you accept them into your life, you might just get a glimpse of how near that kingdom of God is. If not, you get dust. There's some fringe benefits to there. There's a really cute passage in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2, where the author says that hospitality does sometimes reap dividends. It reads, "Do not neglect to be welcoming of strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing it." I think of all the times that I wouldn't adjust my schedule, or was short to someone coming to me for help, or didn't return a phone call, or refused to be put out, or rolled my eyes, or actually did nothing. I mean, how many angels did I slam my door? How many piles of dust are there scattered all around me? In my doctoral dissertation, which I have inflicted on very few people, but I've got a copy if you want one. My doctoral dissertation, I really love this passage. This is what I concluded with, the gospel lesson for today, because I was fascinated by it. It's Jesus' commission, but not like the great commission that we find at the end of Matthew, which is global in impact and kind of comes at the roll of credits when you get around to it at the end of your life. No, this is better. These are marching orders for all those unnamed people who still want to strive to follow the Lord that's ascended into heaven. And these are orders that come smack dab in the middle of their lives. They're practical, focused words addressed to those in pairs. I like that. Nobody goes alone. Nobody gets lost in a crowd. They're specific instructions, too. Although more on what not to do, bring or rely on, than what to do. But I love the fact that it says, plan on being rejected. But even if you are, do not fret. Because that kingdom of God is still drawing near. I mean, that's how I picture it. The mission of the church and our part of it. We're standing on a bluff. Just outside of the town, looking down upon a town we haven't been up to. We're standing there stealing up the courage to go inside that place where it's not comfortable, where the gospel hasn't really been preached yet. And yet where Christ intends to go, in fact, he's already there waiting for us. We stand there hesitating to know only the next step. The first step is secure that we know of. Everything afterwards is unknown. Find a person of peace. After that, be ready for anything. Don't worry about failure. Go anywhere. Don't strategize. Improvise. Engage anyone and everyone you meet with an open-ended way, with love, and with Christ's own presence. Because that's how Jesus sends them off. That's how he sends us off, with a prayer that he says, and we say, and we're a part of. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers. just as important, I think, as being sent out is our recognition of those who are sent to us and what they say. Because the Lord's laborers will go and they will come. But they'll probably come unexpectedly. They'll probably interrupt what you're doing. They'll probably want to hang around a little bit longer than you'd like them to, but they will bless you. They will proclaim the good news, and they will open you up, and in so doing, make you open to the receiving of the kingdom of God. And it's called. So put out the welcome mat. These are people you do not want to shake a leg. And how do you respond to them? Just might mean the difference between receiving all the wonders and benefits of the kingdom of God or just us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, in your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, life everlasting.